Paul Tonko, Democrat of New York's 20th District. Tell me, Paul, the opioid crisis. Now, this is one that I know is really incredibly widespread and important. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are taking them. Do you have any idea why?
Well, there are a number of thoughts. I think, you know, some of it is a gateway to opioids that are used for painkillers, surgery, pain, post-surgery pain, chronic pain. And it's caused a number of people to look more closely at pain management. And some professional ongoing education as it relates to prescribing medications and stuff. So I think that's part of the solution. But I think basically, you know, when we consume 83% of the world's illicit drugs, we have more than a crisis going on. So this epidemic has to be addressed. And one of the measures that I thought was very helpful was one that was signed way late into the President Obama term. Just before he left office, and that was a bill that has a 5-year sunset that would authorize doctors to treat more than 100 people. They were capped at 100.
Yeah, I remember.
And we raised that to 275. Not only did we raise that per doctor threshold, we also added disciplines like nurse practitioners and physician's assistants were appropriately trained and certified. They could assist the community, the service community, and again, each professional had a higher cap. So one of the concerns that this responds to is that when I meet with people who are living with the substance use disorder, who are struggling with that illness, the illness of addiction, they will tell you that in moments of clarity, they need service on demand and it's not there. And so this will go a long way, I think, to enable people to have the appropriate treatment because it's a three-pronged approach to this epidemic. Prevention, treatment, recovery.
Do you think, Paul Tonko, that the opioid and heroin crisis that we're experiencing right now has to do in some way with the character or mood of the country?
I don't know. You know, people say, well, there's despair, there's depression that's going on, that people don't see, feel that sense of hope. You know, there could be those psychological impacts. It could be the whole gateway to, you know, the painkillers, the opioids. Whatever it is, it's reached epidemic proportions, and we need to address it in a wise way. Now, when I mentioned this 5-year sunset on the raising the thresholds and adding to the service community, I've now authored another bill. By the way, that was a bipartisan bill that we did with a colleague who happens to be an MD from Indiana. And Dr. Bouchon and I got this measure approved in both houses, and then President Obama signed it. I now have a bill with a gentleman from New Mexico, Congressman Ben Ray Lujan, that would undo the 5-year sunset and add additional nurse professionals, those disciplines like nurse anesthetists or nurse midwives.
Now, they can give out,
sure.
They can prescribe.
Yes, and where I think the midwife, nurse midwives come in handy and most appropriately, are working with pregnant women and postpartum women. We have something like 13,000 children born that are impacted by the syndrome. The whole addiction syndrome is.
Are they
with
born
them.
Addicted?
Yes. So to have those fields come in, they're so sensitive to the needs of the pregnant and postpartum women. That I think it would be very, very helpful. And we undo those sunsets, so those thresholds will become permanent. Again, it's to respond to the clarity out there, the moment of clarity, so that when they need services, they're given them. 20% of those struggling with this illness are addressed. 80% are not. So we have a long way to go. And one of the other areas that I find tremendously hurtful are how we're treating that incarcerated population as it leaves their incarcerated state. It's documented that when people leave the jails, the incarceration centers, they're at risk to a degree of 129% greater of an overdose within 2 weeks after release.
Damn.
And for a number of reasons, there may not be the programs that they require in those centers. Their system has adjusted tremendously physiologically, so the tolerance isn't there. And they're maybe being sent back into the same environment that manifested their illness. So whatever it is, it's troublesome. And when we look at the stats, Alan, we had 64,000 people, I believe, die in 2016. Mm. And they're suggesting it may be as high as 70.
That's probably more than people die in automobiles.
It surpasses auto deaths and deaths by gunfire combined, and surpasses those of those numbers of the HIV crisis and AIDS crisis of the 90s.
Wow.
So what I think we need to do is, with this prison population, if they are already on Medicaid when they enter, and it's not adding people to the rolls, it's taking those who were on the rolls, and that's their health care system, that Medicaid payment, make certain that we start that up 30 days before release. I have a bill that would do that, so that we're saving lives. We think we could save as many as 10,000 lives by doing that.
Paul Tucker, I guess I want to know now about the Mueller investigation. I don't want to leave you without that, obviously.
Sure.
You know, there are those people who think that Donald Trump, as the rope gets tighter, is going to has no choice in his own mind but to fire Mueller.
Well, I'll tell you, I think that would be a terrible outcome.
Well,
and I
think but do you think he would do it? You think he might do it?
You know, I think there's anything this president might attempt to do because of
duress. Well, he can if he wants to.
Right, and I've watched, as we all have, these senators on the Hill, the United States senators in Washington, saying, well, yeah, we could do legislation to make certain that Mueller stays the investigator, but
so
we don't believe the president would do this. You want to believe that that's coming from, you know, sound discussion and sound thought. But as it builds, if this continues to build, I think the pressure will be on the Senate to do some sort of prevention therapy there with legislation, because we owe it to ourselves as a nation. We certainly owe it to generations to come to drill down deeply on this and find out how this all happened, how the coercion, if there was any, occurred, how the conflict of interest stuff and obstruction of justice, how that all came about, if in fact it's proven to be.
Okay.
We need to know that.
Okay. Yeah, we need to know it. But if he fires Mueller.
Yeah.
What are you prepared to do?
Oh, I think there will be every attempt on the Hill to turn that around. And I think adding to that will be the public reaction. I think you'll see people's, you know, you'll see that expression in very outlandish terms in many of our communities.
As they always say, from your lips to God's ear, I would certainly hope so. The mood in the country will be very interesting to see, as we got 1 minute here, when it comes to these midterm elections.
I think there's a lot of belief that there's a tide here growing that wants to flip the House, perhaps the Senate. It's a long way to November, so anything can happen. But I sense that the people just do not like the direction in which the country is going. And I think the president is a large part of that mistrust.
I would think that's an understatement, if ever. It's always great to have our pal, Representative Paul Tonko, a man with a terrific sense of humor, although sometimes you don't see it. A Democrat of New York's 20th District. He's been in office since 2009, and everywhere I go, people are speaking your praises, Paul. So congratulations, whatever you're doing, keep doing it.
Thank you, and great to be with you.